Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We'll begin this morning with a response to two questions that came yesterday that I didn't have the answers to. Did a little research with the help of others. And here's the response. One of the questions yesterday was, what's the etymology of the word Kartik? Remember that question? So, one of our Vaishnav scholars provided the following. Kartika comes from the word Kritika, Kritika, which is the name of the third nakshatra, or constellation or lunar mansions. There's 27 of those. The moon has 27 days or phases of the moon. Sometimes it's given 28, but it collapses into 27. So those are what nakshatras are. And when the full moon of this month passes closest to the Kritika constellation, therefore this month is called Kartika. That's the explanation. Another scholar, so that's what the world knows. Then there's Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and they have like a nice appreciation of why the name Kartika. And that has to do with Radharani. Radharani is, along with Damodar, the presiding deity of this month. I mean, it's the month of Damodar, but the month of Radha from the Gaudiya perspective. And what is Radharani's mother's name? Kirtida. Kirtida. The Kirtida Sundari is a way by which her mother is called. And Radha is the daughter. So her name is Kirtika. The daughter of Kirtida is Kirtika. So from Kirtika comes Kartika. That's a Gaudiya understanding. But the world that's not Gaudiya's, they also call this month Kartika for that reason. Then there was another question. You know, ask it or say state it this way. Our pastime that we're hearing about in the Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9, is Yasoda Damodar. Is there a Radha Damodar pastime of Radha binding Krishna like Mother Yasoda bound Krishna? The answer is, Jiva Goswami says, yes. And here's the narration. In fact, during this whole month of Kartik, or Damodar month, at the Radha Damodar temple, the deity of Radha has a rope from her waist that's tied around Krishna's waist to commemorate the pastime. And the source of the scriptural source comes from Jiva Goswami, and he quotes Bhavishya Purana in his Priti Sandarbha. So the translation of that Anuchade 367 goes like this. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.32.6, that's in the Gopi Gita section, 10.32.6, there's a description of another kind of gopi, one who thinks, Krishna is mine, in a spiritual sense, not in a material sense. This gopi is also situated in the midst of other gopis. Her position is very rare and exalted. She has a special kind of love for Lord Krishna, thinking, Krishna is my property. That's the possessiveness. We've spoken about this. Mamata. Krishna is my property. She stares at him with frowning glances and enjoys other pastimes like this with him. This particular gopi is Sri Radha. Her exalted position is described in these words during, describing the month of Kartika in the Braja Ratnakara Dritta portion of Avishya Purana. Gives the Sanskrit. That evening, that's an evening during the Kartik month, Lord Krishna went to Radha's home. Angry, she bound his waist with her own sash. Telling her about a great festival at his home, Lord Krishna pacified his beloved Radha, and she set him free. That's Jiva Goswami in Priti Sandarbha. And here's another reference, the same source, Bhavishya Purana. This is Jiva Goswami's explanation given in his Radha Krishna Charana Deepika. That's a text as follows. Yeah. In Goloka Vrindavan, so it's expanded of the same Leela. In Goloka Vrindavan, Lord Krishna eternally assumes a youthful form. In this form, he enjoys various ways with his beloved Srimati Radhika. Once, during the Kartik month, he stayed home to celebrate the festival arranged by Purnamasi. There's a Kartik festival in Krishna Loka. Due to the festivities that day, he arrived late at night to meet Srimati Radhika. In a state of anger, she tied him up using her waistband as a rope. Krishna then narrated everything that had taken place at his home that caused the delay. This story appeased her, after which Krishna said to her, O slender-waisted Radhika, I am most satisfied with this action of you in binding me lovingly by your waistband. O beautiful lady, this name of mine, Damodar, has now become dearer to me. In this world of mine, no other name is as dear to me as this name. By chanting this name, one will always have children and will attain all perfection, along with the rarest forms of devotional service. One will also be able to stay eternally in my abode by chanting these names. In the near future, when Mother Yashoda will bind me to the mortar, this name of mine will be manifest in the material world. In this month of Kartik, one who worships me with you, according to the rules of the scriptures, will attain the fulfillment of all desires. And this is cited in Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Krishna Karnamrita. This following Bhavishya Purana, which goes like this. It's the Sanskrit is different than what we heard in Priti Sandarbha, but here's the translation. Having missed a rendezvous with Srimati Radhika, Krishna was passionately frowned upon by her and was subsequently bound up by her golden waistband. He then proceeded to offer the explanation that his delay was due to the great festival of the Kartik month that was being celebrated by his mother. I meditate upon him who thus became known as Damodar, who in this bound condition offered many excellent words of flattery with erect goosebumps on his body. Bhavishya Purana. Okay, so that was a response to yesterday's question. Is there a Radha binding Krishna Leela? Now we're going back to where we left off yesterday. This is the translation of 10.9.12. 10.9.12, which reads, Mother Yashoda was always overwhelmed by intense love for Krishna, not knowing who Krishna was or how powerful he was. Because of maternal affection for Krishna, she never cared to know who he was. Therefore, when she saw that her son had become excessively afraid, she threw the stick away and desired to bind him so that he would not commit any further naughty activities. And so we're going to continue with commentary, starting with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Don't beat me! Yashoda answered, if you don't like getting beaten, why did you break the yogurt pot today? I won't do it anymore, but throw the stick down. Mother Yashoda then began to worry. Maybe in distress, fear, or anger, he will run away to the forest. Deciding on a way to prevent this, she acted. She threw away the stick and decided to tie him up. She was ignorant of her son's power to spread himself everywhere because she was completely absorbed in his sweetness. Sanatan Goswami writes in the following commentary, she was affectionate because he was a boy, young, and moreover he was her son. She did not know his powers, since the affection of her heart eclipsed everything else. Atad virya kovida. Or, she knew his uncontrolled fickleness. It just takes away the prefix a in front instead of atad virya kovida. It becomes tad virya kovida. She desired to tie him up. In both cases, she desired to tie him up because of affection for the boy. She had doubts whether she could tie him up because of his great strength. Tad virya kovida. Still, she desired to tie him up. Why? Out of affection. She thought herself to be his mother, and he was her child. She thought she was stronger. Out of affection, she thought she must destroy his fickle nature. She thought of nothing else. And finally, Kila indicates certainty, or that it is well done. And now continuing, this is a celebrated verse with lots of commentary, so we'll just begin it this morning. It's philosophy. The philosophy is found in many places, but the within Krishna is everything, and that means even contradictory qualities are within Krishna, and he's the resolution. Or the there's no contradictions within Krishna, although we're going to hear a whole series of contradictions. it begins. The Supreme, this is Shukadeva Goswami narrating in relation to this pastime. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning and no end, no exterior and no interior, no front and no rear. In other words, he is all-pervading. Because he is not under the influence of the element of time, for him, there is no difference between past, present, and future. He exists in his own transcendental form at all times. Being absolute, beyond relativity, he is free from distinctions between cause and effect, although he is the cause and effect of everything. The unmanifested person, who is beyond the perception of the senses, has now appeared as a human child, and Mother Yashoda, considering him her own ordinary child, bound him to the wooden mortar with a rope. Here is Srila Prabhupada's purport. Supreme Brahman, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. The word Brahma means the greatest. Krishna is greater than the greatest, being unlimited and all-pervading. How is it possible for the all-pervading to be measured or bound? Then again, Krishna is the time factor, therefore he is all-pervading not only in space but also in time. We have measurements of time, but although we are limited by past, present, and future, for Krishna these do not exist. Every individual can be measured, but Krishna has already shown that although he is an individual, the entire cosmic manifestation is within his mouth. All these points considered, Krishna cannot be measured. How then did Yashoda want to measure him and bind him? We must conclude that this took place simply on the platform of pure transcendental love. This was the only cause. And he quotes a Brahma Samhita verse. Advaita machuta manada manantarupam adyam puranam purusham navayovanam cha Vedesha durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktau govindamadi purusham tamaham pajami. Last paragraph. Everything is one because Krishna is the supreme cause of everything. Krishna cannot be measured or calculated by Vedic knowledge, Vedesha durlabham. He is available only to devotees. Adurlabham atma bhaktau. Devotees can handle him because they act on the basis of loving service. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. Thus, Mother Yashoda wanted to bind him. And you will just read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on these two verses, 13, 14. Yashoda tied up with her cords of strong prema, the all-pervading Lord of all, who binds up with ropes of maya everyone, from Brahma to the blade of grass. With this intention, this verse is spoken. It is possible to bind up limited objects by surrounding them on the outside. But for he who has great powers, who does not have an outside or even an inside, where can one place the rope? After establishing his pervasion of all space, the verse speaks of his pervasion of time. Time has no limit. It has no before and after. The unlimited can bind the limited. But in this case, it was the opposite. The limited cannot bind the unlimited. He is also the universe as a result of his Shakti. The universe cannot bind him. What to speak of a rope inside the universe? One cannot say that a little boy cannot bind up the universe because Yashodhara saw the universe within his belly. How then can he be bound up? The answer is given. He is bound by uncommon parental love. Atmajam matva, or thinking of him as her son. Though he is all-powerful, by his quality of being controlled by love, by his inconceivable energy, he is bound up. He is called avyaktam. Avyaktam commonly means unmanifest. He is called avyaktam because of being controlled by love. He covers his powers and appears as a human, marchalingam, even though he is beyond the material senses, adhokshajam. Last sentence. The strength of Yashoda's love bound up the Lord, who is the aggregate of all consciousness, just as one binds an ordinary child, prakritam. We're going to hear some more in the evening session. More commentary on this very verse, because it has a lot of commentary. Janma karma chime divyam evam yoveti tatvataha. So explanation of that verse is, no problem. He who doesn't take birth takes birth because his birth is transcendental. And he who doesn't have any worldly activities has activities because his activities are all spiritual, divyam. So that kind of, elementary. And it's true. Then there's more details in that which is true. And Srimad Bhagavatam, in this section, is providing some of that. I'll be mentioning this as we go along, but there's a whole section in it's either Krishna Sandarbha or Bhagavat Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami once again, that addresses or tackles, it's an Indian phrase, he tackles this topic like a football player. Jiva Goswami tackles this topic. And he does it in his own threadbare style, sideways, backwards, forwards, up, down, until it's like super clear. The nature, we'll hear about it this evening some more, but the nature of the personality of Godhead, that which is the source of everything, must have everything. Say it negatively. There isn't something that exists that's not within the source of everything. Or say the same thing a different way, Prabhupada's expression. There's only two things. There's Krishna and there's Krishna's. And there isn't a third thing. In the spiritual or the material realm, there's Krishna or there's Krishna. So everything that exists is within Krishna. So they're in the material sense, you can't have opposites. black is not white, white is not black. Or, you know, be inside everything and outside everything. You can't, you can be outside, you can't be simultaneously inside and outside. So that, but the Supreme Lord can. He is the resting place or the resolving place of apparent contradictions, and we're going to hear some more. But there's the Vedas, not only the Puranas, here that's Bhagavad Purana, but the Vedas are filled with it. We have in Isha Upanishad, we're going to hear some others. Nrisimha Purana is one that does a whole bunch of it. No. Nrisimha Upanishad does a whole bunch of it. So, with a cool brain and the guidance of great acharyas, we can understand how to understand. This is a pastime that's the impossible is about to happen. A rope cannot bind one who has no outside. A rope that's of the material world cannot encompass something that's beyond the material world. We can't find a rope that can go around the universe, but within the abdomen of Krishna is the universe. So a rope can go around, but at the same time not go around. So how does it go around if it can't go around by being bound by the love of Mother Yashoda? All of this leads up to the glorification of Mother Yashoda. I mean, it's already being presented, but her love is who can bind him? Who can catch him? We discussed this. Kaliyavana couldn't catch him. And is Mother Yashoda a better sprint runner than Kaliyavana? Well, she didn't catch him by her speed. She caught him by her devotion. He allowed her to catch him. He wanted her to catch him, and therefore she was able to catch him. But he wanted her to struggle a bit, and so she struggled a bit. No problem. Mothers struggle a little bit. That's not a problem for mothers. They love struggling for their lovely dependents. And the dependents love having their mother struggle for them. Because they know it's out of affection. They know it's out of affection. If they forget it's out of affection, then they're in Maya, and then they suffer. But if it's out of affection, then it's no problem. Like that image yesterday evening of the mother cat carrying a kitten. Now, when I grew up, we weren't Vaishnavas. We were nice family, and we had a male cat and a female cat. And guess what? There were lots of baby kittens periodically. So I saw, the mother cat picking up by the back of the neck, and it was a procedure to move the kitten from position A to B. She didn't have hands; she had a mouth, and that's what she did. And the kittens weren't like squirming, let go. They're very calm because it was mother cat. So Krishna's like that. But at the same time, he's exhibiting symptoms that show fear. So then comes the question we've been touching each time. Was he afraid or was he just pretending fear? Did he really feel fear? And the answer is yes. Transcendental fear out of an ecstatic expression. It was feeling, not the fear that we feel. The fear that we feel is a perverted reflection due to absorption in the temporary. And he has no absorption in the temporary, but he was feeling a transcendental emotion. and his tears weren't fake. They were real tears. Now, how can he have tears if he doesn't have a material body? You know, this is the rational mind looking at pastimes. How can he bleed? How can he, you know, how can he do anything? Because he has no material body. But these are his potencies exhibiting effects. Grandfather Bhishma's arrows poking his body and the sign of blood. It's the internal potency conducting everything. So his internal, external potencies and his marginal potencies just interacting, and he's in his program is enjoying. His program is enjoying, particularly with his loving associates, particularly with the residents of Vrindavan, and particularly the joy of parental affection that Mother Jasoda has for him, maternal affection that she has for him, and he enjoys, and he reciprocates perfectly, as he reciprocates perfectly with each one of us, although we may not think so. But, you know, he's not what. So how to understand Krishna Tattva, how to understand Krishna in truth. This verse is helping us, and we'll hear some more this evening about the mystery of Krishna Tattva and the mystery of this pastime of loving exchange between Mother Yashoda and Krishna. So let's see if there's some discussion.
I have four questions. Four questions.
Did you note them down or you remember them all?
I wrote them down.
Okay, go ahead. First question.
It is said that...
I'm glad you're laughing.
It is said that Radha has a competitor. And what does it mean by that?
It's affection. Now, it can mean many different things, but one of the ways that it can mean competitor is she doesn't compete with the other gopis. Radharani's feeling towards at least her set of gopis is she wants them to be with Krishna as they want her to be with Krishna. So there's no that kind of competition between Radha and her gopis, friends. They're expansions of her, and her pleasure is their pleasure, etc. Sometimes she's on a swing with Krishna and she wants them to get on the swing with Krishna. And they're no. And she's yes. So there's no competition. And between amongst the gopis, there's the right wing gopis and the left wing, and that's it's a transcendental kind. It's for the pleasure of Krishna, not otherwise. And Krishna enjoys that. But Radha as the competitor has to do with this sense of possessiveness. Now, this is a transcendental topic. It's not the material kind of possessiveness. But Krishna is mine. And so the competitiveness is to bring that into focus, which goes the whole range. She'll say things that are haughty to Krishna or about Krishna, but it's out of this love of competing for his affection. And then she'll go the other direction and be very repentant for her speaking wrongly. But, you know, she says, I don't know what has overcome me, why I speak this way, why I do this way. But so she, the competitiveness is for his affection, which is already there, so there's no need to compete. But it's a spiritual kind of competition for his affection.
My second question is that, is that Krishna is mine, is that bad? Like that bad kind of
possession. The pastime of his not saying I didn't eat dirt.
No, like Radha saying Krishna is mine, is that bad?
No. Oh, I thought you said lying. No, it's not. It's spiritual. Krishna is mine. You know, it's not, you know, put it in your pocket and now it's mine. It's, you know, there's nothing else that's mine but my relationship with Krishna. That's what's mine. I'm Krishna's and Krishna's mine. There's nothing else. So that's no sense of material possessiveness. Krishna's mine. Next.
My third question is, how do we chant the name of Lord Damodar? Because we have the Hare Krishna Mahamantra chanting Krishna and Rama, but how do we chant the name of Damodar?
Well, Radha Damodara. Radha Damodara Radhe. That's how.
My fourth question is, as devotees, are we allowed to have pets?
What's that?
As
pets.
You love to have pets.
No. Allowed? Are we allowed to have
pets? Are we allowed to have pets? Devotees, some totally transcendental devotees are allowed to have pets. A nice example that kids like to point to is Shivananda Singh. You know the story. Shivananda Singh? Mm-hmm. Shivananda Singh. You know who he is?
No.
He is the elder that escorted the devotees every year from Navadvip or Mayapur to go visit Lord Chaitanya in Puri. Shivananda Singh. Shivananda Singh, he's kind of like an elder, really accomplished person. He took care of everything. The long journey, their meals, their accommodation, the crossing of rivers, dealing with the different dacoits, dealing with people that wanted to take tax to cross into their territory. All kinds of, you know, he did all that. The elder amongst all the Vaishnavas. So there was some stray dog that started following them. And he took care of that stray dog and fed the dog and so forth. And so he didn't exactly keep a pet, but he was affectionate to even a dog. And the dog went back to Godhead at the end. It's like a nice story. Chaitanya Charitamrita. But we don't, there are examples like that, but we don't commonly hear of Vaishnavas keeping pets. There's, a modern term is animal husbandry. You know, that's a Vaishya project of giving care to cows and other animals. Vaishnavas would keep, not as pets, but give protection, you know, over there in the pasture ground, not in their house. But, you know, some Vaishnavas keep cows within their house, or their house is just built around the cow is like a family member, and out in the back is, you know, the place where the cow is, and inside is where we are. So, but it's not a pet. It's not the same, because there's a tendency that affection for the temporary is tightened. instead of affection for Krishna. So there's that tendency. No. Your question was, are we allowed? It's not exactly, there's some rule that says no. It's just not a practice and there's a reason. There's other reasons. They're not clean. Muchi.
Yeah, because I was thinking, I had a dream when I grow up, I want a farm and I want to have a billion pets.
Okay, but don't have pets. You protect. Animal husbandry. They're over there and you're over here. Okay.
Thank you.
Maharaj, can we consider Mother Yashoda as epitome of motherhood?
Yeah.
And is what we experience in the material world in human beings or in animals, like you were describing the example of cat, is that a perverted reflection of that motherhood?
Yes, exactly.
And if purified, then we experience
Krishna. Yes.
And you mentioned, second question, mentioned about that there are no contradictions within Krishna. Everything resolves within Him.
Yes.
So is it that when we feel contradictions and conflicts in our life, it's because we lack Krishna consciousness and... And the solution is that as we come closer to Krishna, we also experience the same quality of Krishna?
Yes. We'll still see and feel emotions that seem to be in conflict with other emotions, but they're all centered on Krishna.
My question was also more from the perspective of contradictions and conflicts with others.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. I mean, let's look at great personalities from the scripture. There's Prahlad and there's Haridas Thakur and, you know, so on and so forth. You know, in their case, they're pure, but there was conflict. And then there's other case where Gopinath Patanaik wasn't pure. And there was a conflict. So we're not pure. We're in the not pure category. But even when we become pure, there may be conflict, but we're not feeling that same tension due to conflict. Mm. We're feeling protection because of shelter and being protected. Those Krishna protects.
So I also feel inspired sometimes in order to resolve a very difficult conflict. That there is a spiritual solution which is win-win for both the parties. It's just that I'm not able to find it.
Yes.
So keep praying for receiving those.
Well, purity. And then, you know, it's not that Krishna has a plan that's out there. He's just waiting for you to get to the stage of your lights on and you see, oh, there's the plan out there. It's also, you know, he's moving things for our edification, purification, and the other person and persons, you know, it's the affairs of this world are very complex and complicated. So, you know, there's not always a straight line from point A to point B, and you just have to see it, and then you go from point A to point B. There's evolving of all kinds of things going on all the time. So the resolution is, there's no material obstacle for taking shelter of Krishna. So you take shelter of Krishna and think that worked out the way they get worked out without disturbing the taking shelter of Krishna principle.
One more question at this time. So you were mentioning about competition. And describe the spiritual competition that Radharani has. That's like mood of serving Krishna very strongly.
Yes.
So again, yeah. Is there a perverted reflection in this world where there's so much competition for even small kids, like, you know?
We were hearing the other day. Yeah. But, you know, material competition is a perverted reflection of the spiritual reality.
So as we move around in the world, like, we face it, you know, on a daily basis for our children, more than for adults, actually. Who is doing what? Who is better? Who is this? Who is that? So what is a way to deal with it in a spiritual, like, what's a spiritual solution for that?
In the family and in the relationships within the family, the culture, you know, the spiritual culture. And the spiritual culture is Krishna's at the center. So the world around us may be in this, the modes of nature thing. You know, passion. Competition is passion, and it leads to ignorance. It leads to angry and misery. And, you know, it's when, some years ago, I saw somebody wearing a t-shirt, if you can't win, don't play. Because it's all about winning. And because if you don't win, it's lose. Or we had this, it was a mistake. There was an idea to engage the children in a boys-girls competition. You know, with some questions, and it got it to be, like, really harsh. You know, material competition of the boys win and the girls win. So, you know, it was stopped, like, abruptly, because it was very apparent. It was that's the material conditioning. So your question is how to deal with that, you know, in addition to adults, but even particularly for our children, is create an atmosphere where that's not the rule. The rule is pleasing Krishna. The rule is we're working together to please Krishna. When that dynamic is in fact wholesome and obvious, now, there's still going to be influence because of just taking birth in this world means I have some conditioning, and I'm surrounded by people that don't have that value. You live by the value, and you explain this is the value. You know, so it's inside. And once it's inside, then, you know, a child can remain undisturbed when others don't hold the same value. You stay steadfast to your value. Because that's what happiness is. And happiness is not win. Or, you know, protect yourself when somebody else wins and they want to, you know, be mean. Or like this other circumstance. There's no contest, it's just some person asserting themselves. I'm better. You know, so... you heard how I responded to your daughter's question. There's lessons. You know, stay fixed in what the value is, and here's the modes of nature. That's very interesting. This display, that display, the other display. Through knowledge, there's detachment, and then when there's contentment, when there's happiness within, according to Bhagavad Gita, you can be in the midst of the most dangerous situation. What to speak of competition. Dangerous situation and remain undisturbed because there's contentment within. But, you know, as a parent, how to help a child that has to deal with this all the time? By modeling and establishing that value in the home. Just like these other things that happen with a young person growing up in the world today. There are all kinds of dangers. It's hard to limit them, you know, how many. Count the ways. And, you know, some children are more influenced by or attracted to or hurt by or something than other ones. And so the protectionist character, and you live by character. And in the age of Kali, it's not easy. Because the influences are abundant, the non-character influences, the degrading influences are abundant. Co-parenting isn't an easy task, and being a kid growing up, it's not an easy task. But you have to. There has to be spiritual shelter. Otherwise, you know, it's defense. Become an animal. I've got teeth too. Look at this. Claws. Don't mess with me. Yeah. You more?
Yeah, I just want to say that the conclusion is to change the inner, yes, inner shelter, and don't bother too much about the outer displays.
You may have some techniques or strategies or something according to circumstance, but one can easily get caught into this problem solving and depart from value, depart from character. So stay with character, and the strategies may be or not, may be considered or not. And if you deploy a strategy, don't depart from character and value and, you know, Krishna-centered life. I mean, it's like the classic example is the cobra and Narada. And when the cobra became a devotee, then the kids knew he wasn't going to hurt them. So they would taunt him and this and that. And he went and complained, Narada, what do I do? He said, I didn't say you can't show your hoods. So, but not just like a knee-jerk response by someone that's being, you know, tormented or taunted or something. But you can consider strategies, but don't depart from bhakti. It's easy to depart from bhakti because it's weak. So better to emphasize the bhakti factor and not emphasize the strategy factor. And when you accept the strategy reminder, of, you know, 10 times, don't depart from bhakti. Then with bhakti, Krishna is to be pleased. It's not just self-preservation or protection. It's pleasing Krishna somehow. What's the strategy to please Krishna in this circumstance, that circumstance? You nourish that principle, the bhakti principle, over and over and over and over, and model it. And have, you know, wholesome friends. That's not easy to come by. It's Kali Yuga, but wholesome friends, so that there's some meaningfulness of a connectedness with those that are wholesome. And then, you know, that's where I want to be. Instead of just, you know, I'm in the jungle and there's all these wild creatures and I'm feeling intimidated by them. You have shelter.
Maharaj's last comment. When you were talking about, it's not about self-preservation, but it's about devotion. I was remembering your lecture on Mother Sita. Her victory was in Lord Ram's victory when Hanuman came to save her. She said, no, it's Lord Ram's victory when he will come and save her. So she wasn't in the mood of self-defense or
self-preservation. Get me out of here. This is awful. Yeah,
thank you.
Nice. Thank you for that. Do we have online questions also?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do some online questions.
I have also a few questions, but I can go.
Right. Notice he doesn't say
The first question is from Hemnad Prabhu. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. How do we decide what's intelligence that is in the line of with Shastras when Prabhupada says it takes intelligence to decide real world decisions? I heard more encompassing definition of Uttam Bhakti is Rupa Goswami. So we can say no other definition in Shastras like Sarvopadhi Vinirmuktam comes close to this definition before Rupa Goswami.
I don't know what that second comment has to do with the question.
Just right.
But That's okay. The how do we is the Guru Sadhu Shastra. And we're not so well connected with Guru Sadhu Shastra, so get more connected with Guru Sadhu Shastra, and then you'll be in a better discerning position. Make sure your Krishna channel is on. Super Soul can also guide you, but then you confirm Guru Sadhu Shastra. Because otherwise it's going to be modes of nature in the mind.
Next question is from Dharma Teja Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Who?
Dharma Teja.
Speak slower. Dharma Teja, okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, we see temples of Radha Krishna or Krishna Balaram, but I never noticed any temples with Mother Yashoda and Krishna depicting Vatsalya Bhav. At some temples, we even notice Hanuman or Garuda, which depicts Dasya mood near the Supreme Lord.
Okay.
Next. Comment. Okay. Next question is from Oriel Prabhu. What is the Rishi that at the time of death remembered a deer that he loved so much? I don't remember the name.
Bharat. No, it's not a Rishi, he was a king.
Next question is from Amara Mataji. Hare Krishna Maharaj, Krishna allowed Mother Yashoda to bind him seeing her devotion, but he did not stay back in Vrindavan even when gopis were crying profusely. Krishna's desire is bigger or pure devotee's devotion is bigger? So I think if we put in question form, is Krishna's desire bigger or pure devotee's devotion? Should we even try to generalize anything about the Lord other than what we know, that he is always loving and merciful?
Well, being inquisitive is fantastic. And you can't stop being inquisitive because you're inquisitive. And it's a good quality, being inquisitive. So you don't have to turn it to the off position. Being inquisitive is good. When Krishna was allowed himself to be bound by Mother Yashoda, and seemingly contrastingly, Krishna didn't return to Vrindavan till much later, looked like a contradiction. But we just already had this topic that within Krishna all contradictions are resolved. So you or somebody may not know why Krishna didn't return. Because, you know, that would be inconsistent with he's controlled by the love of his devotees, it would seem. But he did return. And there was a purpose in his not returning immediately. It was a Krishna purpose. And there were, you know, multiple Krishna purposes. But you heard this when we were visiting, so I'll say it again. Krishna was considering, if I go back to Vrindavan, the remaining demons, now that I've killed Kamsa, there's going to be a lot of retaliation by his cohorts and demons on earth. And if I go back to Vrindavan, people will know I have affection for the Brijbasis, and they'll harass the Brijbasis, so I should kill the demons before returning. And other reasons. There's other devotees wanting his association outside of Vrindavan, and he had to give his association to them. Mm-hmm. He made a pledge to the demigods that he has to fulfill and kill the demons. So, there's other reasons.
The question was, is Krishna's desire bigger or pure devotee's devotion?
The answer
bigger?
Is he's controlled by the love of his devotees, but it doesn't mean when they snap their fingers, he jumps. Next.
Next question is from Dharma Teja Prabhu, I think in continuation with that point he made earlier. Is there any scriptural reason for establishing deities of specific nature?
Of course.
Or mood?
Yes.
Okay. Next question is from Yamuna Mataji. Dearest Maharaj, thank you so much for including the different commentaries in these morning sessions as it deepens our understanding. How does Jiva Goswami know such intimate pastimes?
Through his heart. You can look, I've grown to appreciate Brahma Samhita text 61, which reads, part of it reads, Yadrishi Yadrishi Shraddha Siddhi Bhavati Tadrishi, which means according to Shraddha, there's realization. Siddhi Bhavati. Bhakti Siddhanta's translation is Siddhi, in this case, means their realization manifests according to their faith. So he's experiencing, like, you know, like a pure devotee that he is, he's experiencing Krishna's pastimes within his heart. He knows from his realization. Krishna reveals what he reveals within his heart. That's how he knows. That's how he knows.
Okay. Next question is from Akshay Prabhu. Hare Krishna Maharaj, are there any pastimes of or instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during and for Kartik month?
Most likely, the embodiment of those teachings are, there's not an English translation that I'm aware of yet, actually. The Hari Bhakti Vilas will have that information. And if you can get your hands on a good English translation of Hari Bhakti Vilas, you will have the answer. What does Hari Bhakti Vilas say about observing Kartik? But there's some similar, simple points mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or Nectar Devotion, and you'll get a, you know, ABC right there.
Okay. Next question is from Ranga Mataji's father. Along with Mahamantra, any special chanting to add in this Kartik month, please?
Yeah, Damodarastakam for starters. Mm-hmm. Next.
Again from Amara Mataji, off-topic question. Maharaj, curious to know, can one disciple use his godbrother's initiated beads to chant in case they don't have their moment?
You can use
moment?
Any beads to chant. You can use your fingers. You can use anything. Next.
This question is again from Hemnath Prabhu. My question was about, is there any definition in Shastra that comes close to Rupa Goswami's definition, Anyabhilashita Shunyam? I meant Rupa Goswami's definition seems more encompassing than any other that we can read in the commentaries on Anyabhilashita Shunyam.
I don't know the connection between other statements in scripture and Rupa Goswami's definition. He didn't pull it out of the air. So there must be something somewhere, because he's not a creative writer, but I'm unaware of similar definitions of bhakti that match, closely resemble Rupa Goswami's.
That was the last question.
Okay. Well, you have something?
Maybe one quick question.
Yeah.
I had a few, but whenever we hear Martya Lingam, or human-like form, I get a little puzzled, because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna very clearly says, Ajo api san avyaya atma bhutanam, Ishvara api san, prakritim swam adhishthaya, samhavami atma maya, that I appear in my original transcendental form out of causeless mercy. So, if Krishna is appearing in his original transcendental form, then why are we using these terminologies like human-like form?
Why not? I mean, his forms are unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say it negatively. Is the Kurma avatar a whatever the word for, you know, Marcha Lingam, whatever the word is for it, a tortoise lingam. all these are forms within him, so he's manifesting that human-like form.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a contradiction. I don't see it as a contradiction. It's just identifying which form, which of his unlimited transcendental forms.
Okay.
Radha, that's clear. Last question.
On the topic of competition, is it still fine to have competitions, like fun competitions?
Is it okay to have competition against competition?
Fun competitions. Fun, is it okay to have fun competitions?
Yeah. I mean, we're human. So, you know, we do things. Like, you know, let's say, Prabhupada called it transcendental competition. You're using the word fun competition, and I'm just editing it to be transcendental competition. That's really what fun competition is. That is, Krishna is to be pleased. So one gopi sees another gopi serving Krishna nicely. She thinks, oh, this gopi is serving Krishna so nicely. Let me see what I can do to please Krishna very nicely. One book distributor, Prabhupada used it in terms of book distribution. One book distributor or one temple or something. So then Prabhupada would encourage. Try to match them. Take lessons from them. Take inspiration from them. There's the material kind and there's the spiritual kind. And that the one that's the spiritual kind, that's fun competition.
But is it fine, like, to have drawing competitions and stuff like that?
Cause it depends on the consciousness behind the competition. That you're asking the same question. I'm giving the same answer a little bit differently, but it's the same answer. It's the consciousness behind it. So let's just say there's a kirtan festival, and Badahari is, you know, gives the leading role, and he gives the concluding role. Now, should our others compete with him? And that's fun, but, you know, they honor him, and then he sits and hears their kirtan and honors them. And I've heard it from him, how much he appreciates this kirtanir and that kirtanir. So that's a Vaishnav fun when it comes to competition. Mm-hmm. It's not really competition, it's pleasing Krishna. That, try to understand that and enter, take up that spirit. It's not within the modes of nature. The other kind of competition, commonly, immediately, the grip of the mode of passion takes over. And we want to beware of that mode because it burns like fire. Beware. Srila Prabhupada ki.